Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
For African people, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God-goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, and they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization, and they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us so we would never forget. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors, because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve, and at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent. Leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time, they found themselves the object of a forced exodus. When they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diaspora, both objects of a global miasma that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, they still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that describes them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to them because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists, the new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jalia. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation, those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our children and those yet to be born. For they are the ones that you must teach. And you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity, for they will call your name in all eternity. To our children we pour libation. Ashe. Ashe. Asheo.
Listening to Warriors Way Radio, where their motto is continuing the fight. Your host is Brother Kwasi Kraft. Warriors Way Radio is an affiliate of the Sankofa Historical Society, which is a part of the Black Reality Think Tank. And they are operating on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Check them out. Email them at warriorsway101@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to the search portal. Put in the Sankofa Historical Society and check out any of our programs that are there. They air every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Warriors Way Radio. Continuing the fight.
Hotep family, this is your brother Kwasi Shuja Kawatu Craft, your warrior for the people. So blessed. I have a wonderful guest here with us, another king, Mr. Robert Miranda. And so before we get into that conversation, I'm going to go into an ancestral profile. But the program today, a slow kill in the water we drink. And so we just really have to think about what's going on and about the lead in the water, and think about what happens in Detroit and how that situation is working. And there's some other places. But, again, I'm not the man with all that knowledge on that. So, like I said, we're blessed to have Mr. Robert Miranda with us today. But he is our ancestral profile. It's going to be a little different today because this is our ancestral profile. It's on my father. Mr. Horace Craft Sr. He was born February 3rd, 1938. He was born in Utica, Mississippi, the son of Leonard Craft, who passed, he was born 1910 and died in 1995. And his mother, Asa May, groomed gas. And my father attended school in Utica. He graduated from Utica Institute, UI, in 1956. Now, seeking new opportunities, my father moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1956 to work for Gleason Steel, American Motors Corporation, and PAP, and from which he retired in 1985 after 23 years of dedicated service. His first love was music, which he studied while attending UI. Now, he taught himself how to play the saxophone and formed a rhythm and blues band called Horace Craft and the Night Dreamers. Now, he became an exceptional saxophonist and was highly sought after in Wisconsin and in Illinois. In 1957, my father married my mother, Velma Lacey, who was the lead singer in his band. And we had three kids, myself, Horace Jr., and Jerry Lynn Craft, and my brother Robert Olu. Now, he did remarry, and his second wife, she passed early for complications of cancer. He was also developed an interest in real estate. He graduated from Wisconsin School of Real Estate, and he built a successful business helping many families in their dream home. Now, he also helped others to begin practicing real estate, including his second wife, Darlene Craft. And again, she born 1954, and she passed 1995. The Horace and Darlene worked together. He gave birth to one child, which is Dion Craft, in 1985. In 1975, father began experiencing weaknesses in his hands while playing the saxophone and doing other tasks. Now, he was diagnosed with ALS, with his Lou Gehrig's disease, and he showed extraordinary courage and his endurance in continuing to be a strong father despite the disease. And he was supported by a tremendous amount of love and faith from all of us. And he defied what they said, that most people with Lou Gehrig's disease, they live 3 to 4 years, maybe 5, it would be a long time. And he was, many a times we took him in and out of the hospital, but my father lasted over 20-something years, you know, after being diagnosed with the disease. And so he had finally succumbed to it on February 24th, 1996. He will be remembered for his strength, pride, and his talent, and for inspiring everyone around him in life with love and true courage. He leaves behind, again, myself. My sister passed away recently, but my brother Olu and Dion, his son, Robert Clay Cook, and just a host of other relatives. But again, my father, just so many things I can say about him. He was just such an inspiration to me. And, you know, when he was selling houses, he would always sell his houses. And a lot of people he would sell houses to, he would say, don't worry about getting moving. I got 2 sons. They can take care of all the moving you need. You know, so he put us out there early. So, again, I want to just give some thanks to my dad for all he's done. And I love him. I'm going to always continue to think about him. I think about him daily. He's always an inspiration to me and what I'm doing now. Okay. We're going to talk about the water. I said the slow kill in the water that we drink. And, you know, I was reading a number of different things, and I just wanted to just put something out there. Now, they talk about leaded petroleum was removed from the British even later than in North America, and that the crime rate in the U.K. came to be later than in the U.S. in Canada. Now, there's a Dr. Bernard Geek that says that the data, new data suggests that lead can account for 90% of the changing crime rate in the 20th century across all of the world. And this was something that they put out in 421 of 2014. Robert, I hear something in the background. Is there a... Okay. Okay, but we're going to go into talking about a lot of problems that we're dealing with in Milwaukee. And so I have a special guest on tonight that's been leading a number of different fights in regards to the water crisis that we're having here in Milwaukee. He's with FLAC, Fresh Water for Life Action Coalition. And I've seen him on a number of different shows. I saw him a while back when he was on Andrea Williams, and I've seen him on a number of different scenarios and stuff where he's out there just informing people and putting this knowledge out here in regards to what we're dealing with. And so I am going to open the floor to you, Mr. Miranda. How you doing?
Good evening, Brother Kwasi, and thank you for the invitation to be on your show today. I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I was wondering about a number of different things. When they talk about the water in Milwaukee, and they talk about that at the pace that they're going in regards to fixing it, you know, it could be 70 years. And I recall hearing you say something about I think it was New Jersey where they had similar problems, but they took care of it in a very short period of time. And I was just wondering, what is the difference? What's the slowdown in Milwaukee? And when we talk about a lot of the violence that goes on, talk about the lead promotes violence in individuals, a lot of the things, the damage that lead does, I mean, it's irreversible. I mean, take some vitamin C, things of that nature, to slow down absorption, things of that nature. But outside of that, I mean, there's basically no cure, and they're not talking about that. So I'm just wondering about the effects and why, you know, it seems like the mayor that we had in office for all these years, Barrett, and now we have an acting mayor, and I'm not hearing a lot of conversation in regards to that, other than yourself. So if you could shed some light on, you know, what's going on.
Sure,
why
sure.
Why are our officials so quiet?
No problem. Well, you know, as you know, Black has been spearheading this movement here in Milwaukee for the last 6 years to bring about policy changes and changes in how we address this matter with the lead in the water. For many, many years, City of Milwaukee leaders have ignored this issue and have been putting a lot of misinformation and misleading statements regarding the matter, creating a kind of false sense of safety and pushing the idea that we have the best water in the world,
yeah.
and this is why we're the freshwater coast city and freshwater capital of the world. And, you know, it's just a myriad of different statements that were just laced in complete lies and fabrications and falsehoods. And for many residents in the city of Milwaukee, those falsehoods have harmed many families, especially children. And the biggest concerns that we raised was, how is it that over the years, with the science on this matter evolving and showing that lead pipes have a serious negative impact on the human body, that leadership here in the city of Milwaukee continues to downplay its role in the poisoning of our community? And so back in 2015, we formed the organization FLAC, and we formed it after former Milwaukee Alderman Joe Davis, who made a run for mayor at that time.
Okay.
He actually had this issue as his platform, and was raising this concern. And I actually was working with Alderman Joe Davis at that time, and I was studying how the mayor, Tom Barrett, at that time was responding. And to no surprise, his responses to what former Alderman Joe Davis was putting out there was to lie, to fabricate, to mislead, to shift the whole issue away from lead and water and put it on lead paint as the most damaging concern to our community. Now, that's a half truth. I mean, yes, I believe lead paint is playing a role in harming our community, but to completely ignore and downplay and just basically dismiss the idea that the lead in the water is not as harmful or not as hazardous to the issue of lead paint was just an injustice to public health and to the community as a whole. So after the election, we created FLAC and we began pushing on this issue. And one of the main concerns that was put out there that we wanted to address was to give information to the public, to the community, of how hazardous and how dangerous this lead and water issue is to our health. And so we began to work with national experts and began to bring research and studies together and informed ourselves, and through that collaboration with national experts, we were able to begin the process of educating the community to inform them so that they could see through the lies and the misstatements and the falsehoods being pushed by City Hall. And one of the things that we wanted to really address was that, you know, when you're talking about lead and water, you're talking about these lead pipes, you know, there are really
right.
two forms of lead poisoning that is going on through the lead and water. One was the one that they constantly put out there, and that's how the lead becomes soluble in the water. In other words, lead residue gets into the water, and it melds in with the water, just like, you know, sugar and water and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, okay, the best thing to do to get the lead out of the water is just to flush the water. And by what they mean by flushing is turn the tap on and let the water run for a few minutes.
Right.
Well, okay, that's what they've been saying all these years. But what they've yeah. never, what they've never informed the public about is the other way that the lead is poisoning the community, and that is by how particulate matter is getting into the water and poisoning our bloodstream. And that's these little tiny particles that basically flake off the inner lining walls of these pipes and get into the water, and you're drinking these particles or you're cooking with these particles, and
right.
that's what was getting into your bloodstream. And so when we started to inform the public about the particles getting into our water system and poisoning us, we saw an increase in the level of misinformation and lies coming from City Hall, and that's when we knew we hit a nerve, because they were just doing everything that they could to try to discredit, try to create this notion that we did not know what we were talking about. We did not have any science backing what we were doing. I mean,
right.
the level of deceit that was coming from Mayor Barrett's administration, I felt was equal to the same kind of lies and deceit that we saw come from this past former President Trump. It was just
yeah.
a real, real campaign of misinformation by the mayor, and every time he would dismiss it, he would always throw in this notion of the water isn't the problem, it's the lead paint, it's the lead paint.
Right.
And we knew that this was all false. And we knew that the mayor did not have the data to support what he was saying, because every time he would say something about lead in Milwaukee, he would always quote national trends, what the national trend shows, what is going on in other areas. But he would never show the kind of data that needs to be shown, that is what is happening here in Milwaukee. And so our coalition, working with and partnering up with another group called the Get the Lead Out Coalition, began doing research on the data here so that we could show that, you know, in most cases, in almost all cases, the trends that are going on nationally do not necessarily reflect what is going on in Milwaukee. And so in our search and our quest for data, we saw that Milwaukee wasn't even testing and collecting data on what's going on with lead in the water. As a matter of fact, they didn't really start doing anything to collect data or even remotely trying to test the water until about November of 2017. And so as we continued the process of educating and informing the community, we were able to show the community through what our coalition partners that Get the Lead Out Coalition were able to produce was maps. And by an expert cartographer, Thomas Welsenbach, who showed through the data that was able to be extrapolated from states and other agencies and the federal government, that showed that the maps that were being produced by the Milwaukee Health Department were not accurately portraying what was going on with lead pipes in Milwaukee. And so as we continued to push on this, we went ahead and sat on two common council committees. We sat on the Public Health and Safety Committee, which at the time was chaired by Alderman Robert Donovan, and we sat on the Hearing and Rules Committee, which at the time was chaired by the former Common Council President, Ashante Hamilton. And we presented our data and our maps showing that the information that was being produced by the Milwaukee Health Department in regards to what is going on with lead water in Milwaukee was inaccurate, misleading, and false. Now, the committee, after hearing our presentation, allowed the bureaucrats of the city to come in and give a response to our presentation the following week. And in their response, most of the bureaucrats once again echoed all of the false lies and misinformation. And we then put together an 8-page response to what the bureaucrats were saying. And to this day, none of our responses, none of that 8-page response was challenged because these people are pretty smart. They're not going to go ahead and put anything in writing. They're not going to show anything in writing because that's going to catch up to them. They're willing to go ahead and talk and sit there and lie in front of you and sit and lie in front of the committee, but they're never going to put anything in writing. And so that 8-page response that we gave is still sitting at City Hall waiting for a response, and I doubt we'll ever see that.
Well, I have a couple questions, but I wanted to just kind of read something. I know you know Brother Nigeria, Mahad, Ali Mahad. And there was an article in regards to some of his concerns in regards to lead poisoning, and this is what he talked. He said he believes that the lead poisoning is hindering his son's development. Confirming precisely where the lead came from is impossible, but Ali Mahad suspects that aging lead pipes that carry drinking water into his home. The city for years failed to warn the family of potential lead hazards in their home, or that Shuhab had registered elevated lead levels as a toddler in 2014. Now, Ali Mahad said that 3 years later, the family stopped drinking the tap water after learning about the rift in the lead pipe. Now, my awareness of it hasn't been an issue taken seriously at all. It's got some media attention, but it's a joke. And so Nazir, she said, I found out about it because my son wasn't developing normally. Now, Shahad is among 9,600 Wisconsin children younger than 16 found that to be poisoned by lead between 2018 and 2020. Now, according to Wisconsin Department of Health Services, that data, now the new toxin damages in the brain and nervous system, partially in the young children, sometimes cause learning and behavior problems and stunted growth. Now, nearly two-thirds of Wisconsin lead poisoned kids live in Milwaukee County, where 5.6% of the children tested in 2020 had blood levels, lead blood levels above 5 micrograms per deciliter. And the level that the state finds as poison. Now, that's compared to 3.4% of the children statewide. Wisconsin saw 23% of fewer children tested for lead between 2019 and 2020, of course, and that was because of the pandemic. But, you know, you got a parent here that's seeing a difference in his kid, and he's relating that to the lead. And, I mean,
right.
I don't know that the parents are paying attention to these things. I mean, they're just trusting what the information that's being put out there by some of our elected officials, you know, which you indicate that they're not being real truthful in the matter.
Correct.
But I was just wondering, is there a financial reason why they're not being truthful in regards to not informing us this information? Is there going to be some fault? I know Detroit went through a similar situation where one of the people were ended up serving a time, maybe a year, a misdemeanor because of the issue they had. I have some background. Is there a static on? It seems like it's getting louder.
I'm not sure where that background is coming from.
Oh, okay. It's quieted. It's quieted down just now. Okay. Go ahead.
So let's backtrack a little bit. During the height of what was going on in Flint, Michigan, everyone was concerned about the level of blood lead poisoning that was going on there. But in reality, Milwaukee blood lead levels during that time were twice what they were in Flint, Michigan. Now, the reason why Flint, Michigan got so big a notoriety is because of the fact that there was a catastrophe that took place. They went ahead and disturbed the pipes by switching the water source, which at the time they were using Lake Huron, and then they went ahead and switched it to the Flint River, which is much more acidy, and that acidy water went ahead and started to affect a compound that most water utilities put in the water to basically create a kind of seal within the pipe, an orthophosphate kind of compound. And so when that water was switched and it went to the Flint River, that acidy water went ahead and started to remove that seal and started to cause corrosion of the pipes quicker. Now, the orthophosphate that the water utilities use to help put kind of a seal in the pipe does not stop lead poisoning. It just basically slows down the corrosion of the pipe. It's not a stop measure. And so Milwaukee, the pipes in Milwaukee basically are pipes that have been underground in some cases for almost 140 years. Some of these pipes have been underground since the 1840s. A lot of them have been put underground in the 1870s, and still others have been put under the ground in the 1920s. But those pipes, there was a common council resolution that called for those pipes to be made with extra strong lead. And so you have pipes underground that have been in the 1920s that have more lead in them than they were before. So being that these pipes now have been underground for over 140 years, and mind you, the science calls for pipes of any kind to be removed from service after 60 to 70 years of service.
Right.
So we have pipes that are still servicing water that have expired twice, and the corrosion of the pipes have been constant and continue. And so because the water utility here in Milwaukee, the Water Works, decided to use orthophosphate back in like 1996, they thought, okay, we'll put this idea into the public that since we're using this compound to seal the pipes, that everything is good, everything is safe, just flush your water, don't worry about it. But what they did not alert the public to was, even though it may have slowed the corrosion of the pipes, it did not stop the particles from falling into the water. And
right.
these particles can range from nanoparticulate size to the size of a centimeter or more. And so these pieces of particles, when they get into the water, increases the parts per billion, that is how they measure how much lead is in the water, increases the parts per billion exponentially. And so and the other insidious side of this is sometimes these particles do not release all the time. They don't get released all the time. They do, however, get released every now and then. So if they go in to test water at a house that has lead pipes, and the test comes back saying that, it meets Environmental Protection Agency standards, that doesn't mean that water's safe. What it means is that day at that hour, the water was safe.
Right.
They could go back tomorrow and run that water again, and the likelihood and the possibility of that water being tainted with lead with higher parts per billion would show. And so, you know, it was putting Milwaukee residents, it was putting us living a life drinking this water, playing Russian roulette, just basically what we were doing. We for the last 30 to 40. Excuse me.
Do you believe that the people really understand how serious this is and the effects that it has on people? I mean, I'm just thinking about all the violence that's going on, the upswing in violence. Where they said that it promotes violence in individuals, and the results or the damages from lead is irreversible. I mean, there are some things you can do to slow down the absorption rate, like having vitamin C and so forth, things of that nature. But you know, it gets in the blood. You know, they say it can last from 1 to 5 months in your soft tissue, and it can last from 25 to 30 years in your bones. I mean, so this is
exactly
a serious problem. Talking about all the damage that can be done, and are they looking at that in relationship to all the things that are going on when you're talking about bullying, the violence that goes on, the suicide, all of these different things? And I've read a number of different studies, and they have dozens of studies in there that talk about that the lead level is more violent and the crime rate is higher because of those things. And then they said when they remove factories and take the lead from the areas and so forth and this and that, it drops significantly.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I usually ask people if they want to know more about how lead affects the body. There's a great website that is hosted by the Mayo Clinic. If you Google lead effect of the body Mayo Clinic, there'll be a page that'll show, and it'll give you all of how lead impacts the body. And some of the things, like you were saying, and I'll read a couple of things here. I'm looking at it now. some of the things that how lead impacts the body of children. It lists developmental delay, learning difficulty, irritability, loss of appetite, weight loss, abdominal pain, vomiting, constipation, hearing loss, seizures, and these are for children that are like 1 to 6. This situation with lead poisoning the water for infants that are 1 month to 12 months, this situation could be fatal if children at that age ingest lead that comes from their tap water. And so, you know, over the years, this information has been denied to the public by our city government, by our waterworks people, by the health department. It's been denied to the people of this city to know that this hazard is as dangerous as allowing mercury sit in your backyard or having nuclear fuel pour into your river. This thing is damaging. Now, some people will say, well, I've been drinking this water for years, and I don't have any issue, you know, and I hear that all the time. I do. People say, I've had lead pipes and the water I've been drinking from the tap, and I'm not having any problems, you know, and they're always saying, you know, I can think, I can count, you know. I'm like, well, it's not only about thinking and counting, you know, it's not only about how you may have got lucky enough not to have your brain affected, but you don't know if other parts of your body was not affected. And and I cite a lot of the work and the studies that were done by Dr. Bruce Lanphier, who is a world-renowned expert on how lead affects the body, and he's out of Simon Fraser University. And, you know, he talks and has published many, many studies and researched many information that shows that people who may have gotten lucky enough not to have their brain damaged could be suffering from cardiovascular issues, could be suffering from memory loss, respiratory, organ issues, kidney issues, your joints, you know. And so, you know, people, if they are well informed and get that information, will see how disastrous this whole issue is. And it's very, very important because, you know, water is life, and water is what we use every day, you know. And so, you know, when I first started organizing on this, you know, one of the things that I found out was, you know, back in the day they used to tell us, oh, you know, if you want the water to be clean, go ahead and boil the water. And you know, but the problem with that is if you have lead in your water, when you boil the water, the lead isn't going to evaporate. The lead isn't going to leave. What the lead does is become even more toxic. It becomes even more dangerous. And so, you know, so we got people who actually are cooking with this water and poisoning their food with it. And so you can see why these folks have been misleading and lying to the public about this, because it would force city government with a public uproar, it would force them to use the resources to immediately start removing these toxic pipes out of our water system. And so, you know, getting back to the lead pipes, you know, these pipes, again, like I said, have been in underground now almost in some cases up to 140 years. And so you've got corrosion in those pipes that have over the years allowed particles to not only bleed from the pipe, and I'm, when I say pipes, I'm talking about the lead laterals that connect from the water main that's in the middle of the street that connects to your water meter inside your house. That's the lead pipes we're talking about. That's the big issue. Now, what happens is over the years, and you could, and you're talking decades upon decades and decades. Over the years, particles that have been floating in that water and going into your home eventually get lodged into the pipe inside the house. And so you have little tiny particles that are stuck in little crevices of the inner workings of the pipes inside the house, or being released slowly but surely. And that is also contributing to the lead poisoning of our community. Now, you mentioned about the lead being in the body. You know, lead, when it gets into the body, immediately stays in your body for a long time. There is a percentage of lead that will eventually leave your body. But if you consistently have been drinking that water with lead in it, the lead eventually ends up in your bones or in soft tissue. And sometimes it's hard to detect because even though lead does show up in the bloodstream, there is a shelf life for that. And so if you're not drinking lead and water consistently, but you have lead in your blood, it could be detected after you've been exposed for about 30 days. If you wean yourself off the lead water, then your blood levels will go back to normal. And so I tell people, I say, you know, how do you know you don't have lead in your blood? Have you tested your blood for lead? And the majority of people say no. You know, adults all say no. Well, I bet if you tested your blood for lead, you probably see that you're in the pretty high micrograms per deciliter level. One of the community leaders that I was working with a couple years ago, Sherry Tussler, who was the executive director at the Hunger Task Force, you know, she decided to go ahead and test her blood to see if she had any lead levels. And she knew she had lead pipes. And to her surprise, she found out that her blood level was at about 17 micrograms per deciliter.
Whoa.
Which is pretty high. And I asked her, I said to her, how many paint chip buffets have you attended? How many mud pies have you eaten? You know?
Right.
Obviously, you got a lot of that from your water. So I would say that if a lot of adults in Milwaukee decided to get their blood tested to see if they have lead in their blood, we see a phenomenal increase in the number of blood lead levels rise in the city of Milwaukee. We're already about 3 points higher of the national average of lead poisoned citizens. I would say that if that happened, we'd blow the charts off the rails.
I was wondering, you know, when they talk about the lead contamination in individuals and in relationship to the violence that goes on, because they said, you know, when in their adult stages and stuff, I mean, they're going to see the results from this contamination as these kids get older. And so when we're looking at these 14 and 15 year olds, and then they also talked about it enables them from making good decisions. So when we're driving cars and so forth. So, I mean, I'm just thinking that all of this is a combination. And I'm not saying it's just one thing, but I'm just saying it's also part of the problem. And our
right,
testing to find out is that part of it.
Right. It would be a contributing issue to what we're experiencing in the streets. Now, I tell people, I say, look, remember when we had the cryptosporidium back in 1993? And back then, we were told by the mayor, back then, Norquist, to boil the water. Well, you know, there was a lot of lead in that water at that time, too. And so the whole city, the whole city was boiling water, right? Now, back then, imagine if there was about a kid that was about 1 year old, 2 years old, 6 years old, drinking or eating with that water. And today now, they're adults. Many of those children are engaged in a lot of major criminal actions today.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's no real data out there that would really give the story about what's going on. Now, mind you, I'm just being speculative here in my analysis of what I see. But I would be very surprised if they if they really did an epidemiological study and did real data gathering and real research on this issue, we would see that a lot of the crime, a lot of the issues related to our educational system is all related to the lead contamination and poisoning that is going on in our city.
You know, I'm just thinking with all these city officials, and I know that they understand what's going on. Is there a reason why they're not on the bandwagon or talking to you or helping get your message out there? You know, because is it a cost? Are they going to owe somebody else some money or owe the city or owe the residents some money if they acknowledge that there was some wrongdoing and they didn't take care of something in a timely manner? I mean, is that one of the reasons? I'm just wondering, you know, because I recall, I think you said that there's a relationship with the people that I believe made the pipe in the city in regards to why they're probably not moving the way they should in regards to getting these lead laterals taken care of.
Well, they know. They know. From the research that our coalition produced, they know that Milwaukee would be liable for the harm done to the citizens of the community. They know it. And what is the research that would cause them to be liable? Well, the research was put out there by one of our coalition members, Robert Penner, who is a master's degree in history, and he did an extensive, comprehensive historical gathering and about how lead was introduced in Milwaukee. And his study showed, with empirical evidence, his study showed that back in the 1860s, early 1870s, the mayor of Milwaukee at that time, I believe Harrison Ludwig is his name, had major interest in the lead mines, the lead companies at the time. And at that time, he also had owned a lot of property in the Milwaukee area. And so,
hey, Robert,
when he...
Robert, I'm going to ask you, Robert, I'm going to ask you to hold on to that thought because we're going to go to our first station break and then we'll come back and we're going to open up the lines for questions and comments because I do see a caller on the line. And so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. So listen to Warriors Radio, continuing the fight, and we're going to go to our first break, and this is a call-in format. So you can call in at 516-418-5674. And these shows are archived, so you can also check us out on Blog Talk Radio. And you can check with the Sankofa Society, which is affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank. And you can go into the Historical Society and look for our program, Warriors Way to Continue the Fight. Okay, we're going to our first break.
He's probably taking the last count at the moment. I'll do my best.
Last night, I had a dream. When I got to Africa, I had one hell of a rumble. I had to beat Tarzan's behind first for claiming to be the king in the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. I have murdered a rock. I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad, I make medicine sick. I'm so fast, man, I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet. When Joy Fulmer meets me, he'll pay his debt. I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. Wait till you see Muhammad Ali.
The face of truth is open. The eyes of truth are bright. The lips of truth are ever closed. And the head of truth is upright. The breath of truth stands forward. The gaze of truth is straight. Truth has neither fear nor doubt. Truth has patience to wait. The words of truth are touching. The voice of truth is deep. The law of truth is simple. All you sow, you reap. The soul of truth is flaming. The heart of truth is warm. The mind of truth is clear and firm through rain and storm. Facts are only its shadow. Truth stands above all sin. Great be the battle of life. Truth in the end shall win. Life of truth is eternal, immortal is its past. Power of truth shall endure, truth shall hold to the last.
This is the legend of Muhammad Ali, the prettiest fighter there ever will be. He talks a great deal, he brags indeed, of a powerful punch and blinding speed. The physic world was dull and wearied with the champ like Foreman. Things had to be dreary. Now someone with color, someone with dash, he brings fight fans a running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. Ali fights great. He's got speed and endurance. If you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. Ali's got a left, Ali's got a right. If he hits you once, you're asleep for the night. And as you lie on the floor while the ref counts 10, you better hope and pray you don't meet me again. For I'm the man this poem is about, the true champion of the world, there isn't a doubt. Once I predicted and I knew the score, I told them I'd be champ of the world in 64. When I say 3, they go in the third. Don't bet against me, I'm a man of my word. Do you remember when I predicted Sonny Liston's dismemberment? I hit him so hard, he forgot where October and November went. If I tell you a mosquito could pull a plow, don't ask how, hitch him up.
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience, one teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person.
Listening to Warriors Way Radio, where their motto is continuing the fight. Your host is Brother Kwasi Kraft. Warriors Way Radio is an affiliate of the Sankofa Historical Society, which is a part of the Black Reality Think Tank. And they are operating on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Check them out. Email them at warriorsway101@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com, go to the search portal, put in the Sankofa Historical Society, and check out any of our programs that are there. They air every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Warriors Way Radio, continuing the fight.
Hotep family, we are back, getting some knowledge from our brother, Robert Miranda. And we do have a caller online at 4555-4555. Caller, question or comments, or are you just listening? Caller, question or comments, or are you just listening? Okay, I guess you're just listening. All right. go ahead. I was just wondering again, I had mentioned about, you know, why people aren't so in an uproar about this water. We're hearing some people, some concerned parents. An article I read on social media regards to Nigeria talking about his family and noticing the difference. You got a parent that's noticing the difference with his kids. You know, they're learning and so forth. You know, and are a lot of people out there doing those type of things? I think they catch them not knowing. And then when you talk about, back in the 90s, was that Crystal Floridian?
Right.
You know, again, they're telling us to oil the water. And they're throwing out some things that just don't make sense if you understand the science, but they're counting on, there's enough people out there that know this information, and they're passing that information on to us, you know, our educators, even a lot of these news, but they're not. Is there some kind of conspiracy where they have to keep their mouths shut, not say anything? I mean, there's just too many people, I believe, that understand what's going on and not say anything. And I guess if you say nothing, then that means nothing's going on. I mean, you've been speaking on this, and I've been following you on social media, and I've been seeing you with Keith Rick and just other people, and how Marge is doing things and putting this information out there. What kind of support are you getting with this? Is this fight a good fight for you?
Well, you know, we're dealing with a city government that is engaged, that has been engaged in the last few years, in major cover up, major misinformation, misleading information, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, I say that with authority, and I say that with authority because back in September of 2016, the president of Marquette University hosted a water symposium to talk about this very issue. And so many of Milwaukee city leaders attended that symposium. There was about 500 people. And the mayor was there, as well as various different state senator, Lena Taylor, who actually has been a very powerful voice and a champion on this issue. But at the time of this symposium, the president of Marquette University invited a Dr. Mark Edwards, a science professor, of Virginia Tech University. And Dr. Edwards is recognized as one of the leading authorities, one of the leading experts on this issue. And so he was there to give the keynote speech to the symposium, which had over about 500 of Milwaukee's leading civic leaders. Everybody was there just about. And so in his presentation, I know I heard a gasp in the air when he put up on a big PowerPoint, he said, Milwaukee is a world leader covering up lead and water issues.
Wow.
Okay. This was back in September of 2016. So I'm not just saying that these people are liars and fabricators and people who create falsehood out of a whim. I'm saying it because I know it for a fact, and a nationally recognized expert known to be a leader and a voice on this issue put it in their face and told them, you guys are a bunch of liars. And so when I say these folks are out there creating false information and misleading people, that's what's going on still in the community. You know, when people start asking about this issue, you have a lot of the folks over at City Hall who come back knowing more information than the general public, feeding them a lot of lies and misinformation. And so because the issue is fairly complicated, you know, the issues dealing with water chemistry and all this, you know, someone who isn't well-researched or well-versed on this could be easily bamboozled and hoodwinked by one of these master spinners coming from City Hall and calming things down. And so for the last few years, that's what City Hall has been doing. They've been putting out the little fires that have been started by sending people out and telling their lies and their misinformation and misleading statements, so that people then will say, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then next you know, they're quiet and they won't say anything else after that. And so, you know, that's the kind of fight that we've been engaged in to show that these people are manipulators of the truth. And one of the other points that illustrates how these folks are manipulators of the truth is when that whole matter of the health department blew up back in 2018. Excuse me?
What was the guy's name? Was it Baker that was in there? Right.
That was former Commissioner Bevin Baker. When that whole thing blew up, you know, it blew up based on what they were saying in regards to families not being informed or taken care of in regards to the poisoning of lead that took place with the children. You know, this thing happened for 3 years. 3 years.
Right.
Families weren't informed. Families weren't given the proper instruction on what to do. 3 years. Nobody is going to convince me that that was something administrative or some kind of administrative oversight or whatever. No, that was an intentional effort. Somebody did that intentionally in order to ensure that data wasn't collected, properly. And I'm convinced of this because one of the things that we pushed for was to have the Milwaukee Health Department, especially the lead program, have an independent audit done, an independent audit by an outside agency to see what is actually going on in that health department and what's going on in that lead program. And in March of 2020, the agency, which is known as the Public Health Foundation, did their research, did all the investigation, and released their report. And in March 2020, their report basically stated that Mayor Barrett, even though he told the public, he told the city, after that incident with Bevin Baker, that changes have been made, new policies have been implemented, new reforms have been done. That report said none of what they were saying happened. Nothing.
Right.
None of that stuff was implemented. And not only did that report say that, but also it also said that the data that the city of Milwaukee was using, that they were saying, oh, we got lead paint problem, all this stuff, the data they said that the city is using was insufficient. Insufficient data. You would think that such a report would explode the common council into action. They only addressed that matter maybe twice, and after that, they allowed it to die. After that, they allowed it to go away. Despite the fact that thousands of Milwaukee residents were harmed by the misconduct, malfeasance, and disregard and indifference by its government to the safety of the public health of this city.
Now, I'm wondering, Dr. McManus, she came in there after Bevin Baker. It was a short term she was in there. I know her, and she's not the type of person that's going to mislead people and things of that nature, but I know they kind of put her in there to, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure.
But yeah, no, we are.
She's a very honest person, so.
We advocated strongly for Dr. McManus to be the new health commissioner after Bevin Baker was resigned or whatever, however they worked it out with him. I'm not sure about that, how they did what they did. But we worked it very hard. We worked very hard for Dr. McManus to be the next health commissioner because we knew he was going to get to the bottom of what was going on. And they knew. They knew it also. Mayor Barrett and his team of poisoners, they also knew it. And so when Dr. McManus showed up to work over there as commissioner, she showed up to an office that was gutted of computers, that was gutted of documents, that everything was taken out of there.
Wow.
And she even reported that fact to the Common Council committee. And not one Common Council member demanded an investigation or asked to see where those documents were so that she could do the job. And when she was reporting that, that's when Mayor Barrett and all his team of poisoner stepped up the action to get her out of there immediately because they knew she was going to blow the lid on what was going on and how many of our fellow citizens were harmed. They knew it.
I'm so, just wondering what the big holdoff is. I mean, I understand, like you said, they're lying. And, you know, you said you had that expert come in at Marquette to speak. That article, I just have to search if you can give me that information and look that up. But was that put out for the public to witness or know what went on in regards to what he said about Milwaukee's water? I mean, because they did have a slogan going on for a while talking about Milwaukee has the best water. in the world.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, no. See, that's a matter of a half truth. Okay, that's a matter of a half truth.
Okay.
The water that is coming from the source, and the source meaning Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And then goes through filtration and gets cleaned, and then eventually leaves the water plants after being cleaned and goes through the water mains and eventually lands into the home. The water is generally safe. The water is
okay.
Generally safe. It becomes toxic once it runs through the pipe. See,
okay.
That's the half truth. What they were saying,
wow.
That the water is clean, it's safe, blah, blah, blah. That was just half the truth. They weren't telling everybody except those families or those homes that have lead water pipes. The water, when it goes to your tap, is toxic. And so,
you know, I heard that there was a medical report on the kids, but they didn't release the numbers, so that we really don't know what the numbers look like in regards to the tests that were done in regards to lead poisoning. For whatever reason, they didn't release that information. So I don't know if there's truth to that or not, but that's one of the things that I was trying to find, and I just didn't find anything recent other than maybe if you go back to 2014 or 16.
If you go to the Get the Lead Out website, if you go there, you will see a lot of information in regards to that, a lot of the maps, a lot of the data that is there to help you get to the truth of what's going on. And also, in response to your request on the matter of the professor from Virginia Tech speaking at Marquette, if you Google Dr. Mark Edwards speech, Marquette University, September 2016, you should be able to get it and listen to his speech.
Okay. Awesome. Wow. I tell you, that's just scary, and I think, this is just so purposeful of them not putting that information out and not hearing certain things. That just should be a major something that should be shown on 6 o'clock news. You know, whether
they have experts at spinning at City Hall. They send those people to the media, and they twirl their heads with all kinds of misinformation and all kinds of things that make the media people say, "Oh, okay, well, yeah, it sounds like you got it handled." If there were real investigative reporters in this city, if there any of the media had a real hard-hitting investigative reporter, they could blow this whole matter. Pardon the pun, they could blow this whole matter out of the water. We just do not have a real strong investigative media network in this city.
Well, you know, I'm just wondering, is that just because it's so controlled? In regards to what they get to say, what they can't say. I mean, people want their jobs, they want their money. I mean, it's like law enforcement. People aren't going to switch their officer that does something wrong.
That's the bottom line. Yeah, that's the bottom line. If media starts putting the truth out, all of a sudden they start not having their ads or their reporters don't get called for news events, or their writers don't get the scoop, or they don't have access to information like they used to. I mean, there's a myriad of ways that a very corrupt non-transparent government can tame any real media from getting information to the public that it needs to protect itself.
You know, I'm not trying to really put media people on in a bad light, but and I know quite a few, but, you know, it's hard to even get ones that are retired to come out and just say something about the wrong that's been done and how they have to frame things to make it look a certain way and not tell the truth about things. And, you know, so we're always getting that misinformation, and then, you know, people will blame, you know, the media and how they did this and that, stuff like that. But, you know, that's your job, to frame it a certain way to make people think, hey, this is it, this is the problem, not that's the problem. So, you know, so when
right.
I...
Yeah, and, you know, you gotta... You know, people, you know, when you get into this kind of trench warfare, you have to understand you're going to be in a fight, and you're going to have your name and your reputation kicked around, and you're dealing with a huge dinosaur that is ravenous and will take you down. And so a lot of people, you know, they just don't want to do that. You know, they don't want to get into it with that kind of monster. And so, you know, they just say, okay, well, let me go ahead and do this story. And next, you know, instead of reading or seeing how our children are being harmed by misconduct and poisoning through the water, you'll read or see on TV how great face paintings are going on.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of, misinformation, but there's a lot of put up a mirage and, you know, a lot of dancing around issues that they do in regards to so many different things. Instead of, you know, there's a whole walking all in there. Instead of fixing that hole, they're going to cover it up with a blanket. But if you still walk up, all hurt. But you won't see it if you're just looking.
Right. Exactly.
So big is covering things
instead
up.
Of, right. You know, instead of using the right treatment for a major wound like a tourniquet, they come in and try to put it with a piece of blanket. You know, it's just that's not going to stop the bleeding, you know, and so you know, it's just a matter of, you know, when people develop more courage to move forward and repair things, it requires real moral courage.
Yeah.
Can I
yeah.
say something?
Yes.
You all are coming up to a election for a new mayor. This is a very good topic to measure people by. The mayor works for the public. We have got to start looking at the people who work for us and be bold enough to confront them. I moved to Milwaukee many, many years ago, worked at Children's Hospital, and lead poisoning was an issue then. It's still an issue. Make these people who work for you address it and resolve it.
Exactly, and the only way they'll do that is if they see the people mobilizing, which then means that either they're going to vote for that person or they're going to vote that person out. And so, you know, when people start getting informed and they have the correct information and they understand the issue well, that is power for the people, which puts a lot of these elected people and a lot of these bureaucrats in office on the defensive. You know, a corrupt government lives on the ignorance of its people. A powerful government of truth is the one that is controlled by the people.
Well, you know, I was just going to add my two cents in there. You know, when you're talking, and I think you meant that in your comment in regards to, you know, we need to look at who's running for mayor. And I'm looking at all the people that are running, and I'm thinking about all the incidents that took place, and some of these people were in position to say something. And I recall only one of them saying something that was truthful, and others said nothing. And I'm talking about that Anthony Farrell situation over in Miller Coors when he was being harassed. Even people had called the radio station the next day and talked about how he was being treated at work, and they had made a news that they was taking his equipment at work and so forth. And I'm not justifying what he did, but my point is Milwaukee police came in there, they did an investigation, and they said they found no evidence of any racial issues or whatever or attacks against this man. And then also then they came up with this slogan saying Miller Strong. And I guess my thing is, if there's a plane crash, you know, you want to look at that black box and find out what went wrong and so that you make sure it doesn't happen again. Well, they didn't want to do that at Miller Coors. They wanted to cover this thing up. And I remember Lena Taylor speaking out on things that she had heard about this man being harassed and so forth and this and that. And they shut that part of the segment out in regards to on the news. And everybody else had nothing else to say and just followed suit in regards to things. And I think that's kind of what's going on right now. And people have showed their colors in regards to who's in charge or right. Who's going to do what's right in regards to the people.
Well, and to prove your point, currently, right now, well, back in 2018, we filed, our organization, Black and the GTLO, filed a criminal complaint against the city in regards to the actions or the matter that took place over at the health department. And okay. we went to see Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm and provided him with documents and evidence, and as we were talking, one of his lead investigators, you know, just automatically said, boy, it sounds like we got some misconduct going on here. And so County District Attorney Chisholm took the case and had his investigators look into it.
Okay.
And they did. And we went back and met with District Attorney Chisholm after a year of investigating. And then when we met with him, that's when we found out that they did a major investigation. They brought in interns. They brought in retired prosecutors to look over the
right.
case. And because of the massiveness of the case, they went ahead and referred the whole matter to the Department of Justice of the state of Wisconsin, Attorney General Josh Call. We met with the lead investigator of the state of Wisconsin Department of Justice on this matter and gave him more information that we had. To this
right.
day, to this day, that criminal investigation is still going on. We're almost 3 years. 3 years into that criminal investigation. And mind you, back in 2018, former council president Ashante Hamilton and former alderman Robert Donovan went ahead and sent an official letter to District Attorney Chisholm, asking him for a criminal investigation. As a matter of fact, Senator Lena Taylor was also involved in that meeting with us, calling for a criminal investigation. And to this day, almost three years later, that criminal investigation is still going on. We've asked for the Attorney General, Josh Paul, to give us an update of where things are, and he has not responded at all. Not responded. He's been very silent on this matter. Now, you know we started this whole thing about 6 years ago.
Okay.
In 6 years, if you look at the history of those 6 years, if you look at the history of the Public Works Department, of the Milwaukee Health Department, of the Milwaukee Water Works Department, you will see that in those 6 years, everybody retired, changed jobs, ran away.
Seven people. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And now the head snake all of a sudden is the ambassador in Luxembourg. He got out of here.
Get out of real quick. That's right, George. Yep.
So now if you look at today, the city of government, it doesn't even look like what it looked like about 3-4 years ago. Everybody's gone because all these people knew this thing, all the major bureaucrats, all the people who were directly involved, all these people knew this wasn't going to look good.
Well, I'm just wondering, New Jersey had a similar problem that we have, but yet they were able to work with get the matter and taking care of it when it comes to the lead level.
Yep. Newark, New Jersey. The mayor of Newark, New Jersey, around 2018, 2019, the people of Newark, New Jersey started rising up because they started becoming well informed about how the lead pipes was tainting their water with lead. And it started becoming a hot issue over there. And so the mayor of Newark, New Jersey knew he had to do something. He wasn't like our mayor here in Milwaukee, Barrett. Barrett was blaming lead paint and trying to blame the Republican Party here in Wisconsin that they're not cooperating. And those are legitimate issues. But, you know, he was just passing the buck, Barrett was.
Right.
But the mayor in Newark, New Jersey, he didn't go out there and say, oh, we don't have no money. Oh, it's because it's too costly. Oh, you know, he didn't make excuses. He got down to business, and he got creative. He got creative putting together a financial package. He got creative on getting different governments involved and how they're going to do this and remove these pipes. And in 2 years, even in the middle of the pandemic, they were able to remove 22,000 pipes.
Mm.
2 years. Here in Milwaukee, we still have up until about last month when the vice president showed up, all of a sudden, you know, things are changing. But up until before she showed up, all we kept hearing was, oh, we have a lack of labor, the labor shortages. We don't have enough people to do this job, or it's still too costly, and the Republicans aren't giving us the money. But, you know, the VP shows up and says, oh, we got some money coming your way. Now all of a sudden, they're going to give us help and support because they see how successful we've been over the last couple of years. What a bunch of lies. I mean, just bold-faced lies about what's going on. I mean, so, you know, we're still dealing with some very, very deceitful people in city government. If we don't put the right people in the mayor's office, if we don't put the right person in the mayor's office, we're going to continue to see this kind of deceit.
I mean, just in talking about that, I mean, who do you think? I mean, I'm always going to lean toward Lena because I don't know her real well, but I know about a lot of my friends that have had some issues with people in the city or MPS issues where they're just not getting paid and just some other issues and stuff where they gave her a call and she made some calls and helped them out. And I've heard that story from many of people. Yeah, I mean, I support her in that regard because I believe that she's that map that's not, she knows enough about what's going on, got experience and knowledge, and that she just knows the people, and she knows the people that are in position, and she just knows her way around. The police department, all of it. I think that they would be afraid to have someone like her in there because of she knows so many things about all these skeletons that are out there. And this is one of the reasons why I believe a lot of people aren't doing what they need to do, you know, because they may be exposed at some point or time or whatever. You know, so right I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, just for full disclosure, I do support Senator Taylor as well to be mayor. And I'll say this. In the last 6 years during this fight, no politician out there can equal the level of participation, the level of action on this issue as Senator Taylor. She was always at the forefront. She was always at those committee meetings at City Hall. She was always pushing. You know, if you want someone who not only understands government and how it works and operates, you know, but has the experience, she's got the experience, and she understands how City Hall operates. You know, if we don't put her in, we're going to lose an opportunity to really get things cleaned up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I strongly believe that because, you know, I'm just wondering, what do you think the big difference is in regards to New Jersey? You said that the people really rallied and got, you know, about their concerns in regards to what's going on in regards to the lead in the water. And what is the difference from there and here? I know places are different in regards to size, this, that, and everything. But as far as the information getting out there, I guess maybe it's or personally it's the mayor and the kind of control he has or the people that he works with. I mean because it's affecting everybody that's there. Or are they looking at it different where I'm just going to – I got bottled water, but at the same, you're still taking a shower. You know, you're still dealing with the water.
Right. And
you know, we can't get around that.
And that's a good point. The difference with what happened in Newark and what's going on and what happened in Milwaukee is basically leadership. You know, the mayor of Newark made the decision to do something and put the energy and the time in to make it happen. And, you know, I don't see that happening with the guy that is sitting as acting mayor right now. That's not going to happen here.
Right. Right. And I tell you, that's too bad. And I know that, you know, it hasn't been easy for you, but anytime you're fighting for the liberation of the people, you know, I mean, because most of the people don't understand what's going on anyway, and you're trying to inform them. And, of course, like you said, they're going to put up these smoke screens saying that you don't have that information, you don't have the science
and you've had people come in and explain these different things. You know, like you said, you had the professor come in and speak at Marquette, you know, and put that information out there. So, you know, there's
the key is to have thick skin and be persistent. Stay on the truth. Stay on the science. Stay the course. Don't worry about what they're saying about you. Don't worry about what they think about you. They don't pay my bills, and they don't give a damn about me, you know? And I don't do this to please anybody. I do this because it's right. It's justice.
Yes.
It's about protecting our community. It's about defending the public health. It's about protecting the children of our community.
Yeah.
You know? And
you
and
know
so,
when we talk about all the things that are going wrong, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I think the bullying, the suicide, you know, the poor decision making, the reckless acts of violence, the driving, all these different things that's going on. I mean, I still, you know, I'm a retired from law enforcement, but I still work a lot of security jobs, and I happen to run into the mother of the little girl that was victimized in that dollar store, and I met the little girl as well. And so I hope that they get some help because, you know, the trauma that she sustained. And, you know, and I mean, like I said, this is a continual thing that's going on. And I'm just wondering because I saw some pictures of the people involved, and they showed that these were like some teenagers. And so I'm wondering, you know, these teenagers being so reckless and making these poor decisions. You know, the same thing happened the other day in a car crash where somebody hit someone out somewhere. And I mean, but we get that pretty much, it's like an everyday thing. And we're, I mean, and are they doing these tests maybe on some of these kids and find out, hey, this kid has some problems. This kid has, you know, something wrong in his system. And are they going to do it, you know, would they do a test on some of these kids that are having these abundance of problems, you know, that are in these correctional facilities and stuff like that? You know, is that a test that they do to find out if maybe there's a high trace of lead in their system where they can't make these good decisions about right and wrong and have these impulses and so forth? Because they say that's a symptom of an ADHD and stuff like that. That's something that is a trait that these people are so impulsive and they go towards doing these crazy acts of violence and things of that nature with no concern. So I'm just wondering, you know, what's going on and if somebody's trying to reach them. And I'm not saying it's one thing. It's a combination. But we still need to look at the major source, you know, because we can't go without water. You know, I played the song from Chaka Khan. I mean, when the well runs dry, I mean, what else are we going to do?
Exactly. And, you know, it's dealing with that, and it's also making sure that the tools, the programs are well resourced. You know, a lot of these reckless driving issues may be occurring because, you know, none of these kids are getting proper training on driving.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
I remember back in the day when I was going to high school, you know, you go and you get of age, you get a learner's permit, you attend classes on driving, learn the rules of the road, get instilled in your mind how the operation of a vehicle works on the road. We don't see that around here. You don't see kids in the inner city learning how to drive or a big post on top of the car saying "student driver." you know?
Right.
These people have gutted those kinds of useful tools from our schools, from our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And, you know,
sure did.
You get a lot of kids out there, you know, not all of them, but a fair number
right.
of them. But they're the ones who are making the news. And so,
right.
you know, it's just tragic the way a lot of these programs that used to be good tools to help mentor or help train the kids or give them the proper outlook on things have been gutted from our community.
Right. And you know, you're exactly right, because I'm thinking, I know, I graduated in the 1980, but I'm looking at, you know, they pretty much stopped driver's ed back then. And so, I mean, when you went to school, you learned how to fix the car, fix the brakes, you could bring it up to school and get it done and work on your car. You know, you could do a number of different things and stuff. And like you said, you trained, you learned how to drive. And one of the things I remember when we had driver's ed, they showed us this movie about car crashes and the trauma that
exactly.
people went through with crashes. And,
yep.
Oh, my goodness,
that
terrified me so much. I mean, exactly. But, you know, there is just a different method in which they do things. And you know, and in order for you to take driver's ed now, you know, you basically go to high school and you got to come up with about $400 and take the class. Well,
yep.
a lot of people aren't doing that. They're just waiting until
exactly.
they get of age and, you know, get a permit, pass the test, and they get a car and they go.
Exactly. And
you
that...
know.
And we created this problem for ourselves. Exactly. You
right.
know, we got people out there driving with just limited knowledge of the rules of the road. And we put ourselves in this position, basically, because we've allowed people who are more concerned about spending money to help citizens block that so that the money can be shifted so that we can build more skyscrapers downtown.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to add something, you know, like the name of the program tonight, A Slow Kill in the Water We Drink. And I say a slow kill because, you know, there's a number of different terms when we say slow kill or soft kill, because people don't realize the damage that's being done because of the time that it takes. You know, and so as we get older and our body is more consumed with all the toxins that we're taking from the lead and other things, that's going to create other problems for us. But right now, you know, a lot of people, you might say, they're not being tested. They're not doing a lot of different things, you know. And this was long before COVID. Long before COVID,
yeah.
They quit doing
right.
certain things because they didn't want that information out there. So I really thank you for, you know, just consistently pounding away. I'm always seeing that you and so many other activists in the city that are doing so much. And I know that you're doing so much more that we don't even know about that are just making life easier and better for us. And I just wondered if you have any closing thoughts because we're coming to the end of the program. But before I get there, just want to let people know that these shows are archived and that you can also look, play the show back, go on the Facebook to the Black Reality Exchange and look up Warrior's Way, Continuing the Fight. You can also go to Blog Talk Radio and www.blogtalkradio and go on Warrior's Way, Continuing the Fight. You can look up the Tankopa Society and look up for the programs and you'll find us there. And so play this program back and listen to that as many times as you want. But go ahead. Any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, Brother Kwasi, I appreciate you and thank you again, once again, for inviting me on. And, you know, I think that through programs like this and many others out there in the community, it's important because it gets the information out there that people really need to really inform themselves, get the right information so that they can look it up themselves and confirm that information. I mean, it's very important that not only you get information, but you confirm it yourself and make sure that it's right.
Most
because once you know that this is right, you got truth on your side, and there's nothing that's going to be able to stop you from moving forward. So, and I appreciate for the show.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And I thank you for joining us, our listeners, to Warriors Way, continuing to fight. And we had our brother Robert Miranda bring out the science, you know. We're talking the slow kill in the water we drink. And why aren't they doing what they need to do to get things right, you know. But we got a champion here that's fighting for us relentlessly and making things better. And, you know, so changes are coming, but we're still in this fight. So we're going to say goodnight. Thanks again for joining us tonight. And hotel, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
All right, thanks again.
When the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is just a position in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is up. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh,
every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes.